On the move. Welcome back, good people. This is Mike Africa Jr., and this is my podcast where we illuminate the struggles of the people, inform the uninformed, and give you nothing but the truth. On the Move is here to disrupt the system and spark a global revolutionary change. Like Sam Cooke said, a change is going to come. Like Gandhi said, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. And even though Gandhi wasn't perfect, he said a lot of things that was true. And if the truth is present, better respect it. Today, got a very special guest who's no stranger to the show. How do I introduce this person? This person is one of my favorite people in the world. If I didn't have Robin and Aaliyah and the boys, he'd probably be number one. But he's definitely up there in the top tier. Everybody, you've seen him before, you heard him before. Say on the move to my dad, Mike Africa Sr. On the move. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm all right.
Feeling all right this morning?
I do.
You do? Oh, I you do. Said that with a nice smile on your face. Feeling good, huh?
Yeah, man. It's always nice to be in this space.
What'd you do this morning so far?
Got up and did some chores for our brother. It's ailing a little bit, you know, Chuck. And had to go get him some supplies and drop them and your mom off, which is why she's not here this morning.
I mean, you say he's ailing a little bit. What's up with him?
You know, he's battling that dreadful,
ferocious disease.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's, you know, the kind of toll it takes on you physically and mentally, man, is, you know.
Yeah. I know he's up and down, too, right? Because I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. And he was really down. No. Maybe a month ago, he was really down. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks ago, he was in a supermarket, walking around, touching vegetables. He was picking things up.
Right.
Seemed like he was like, you know. And then I talked to him this morning. He started off like he was like kind of not like sick, but he started off like he was just a little like tired.
Yeah.
And then within, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes into the conversation, we started talking about a subject he liked. And oh man, he perked up. And he was throwing jabs through his words.
Yeah, so we have those talks like every day, uh-huh. You know. And depending on what it is, you know, he gets really up, man, about people resisting.
Yeah,
and remembering his own encounters and battles, and you know that fighting him, man. You know, brings that energy way up in him.
It won't quit. The fight in him won't quit. He told me today, he said, Mike, cancer is going to have to just walk up to me and strangle the life out. It better come hard.
Yeah.
He said, it better come hard because I ain't going down without a fight.
Right.
He said, you give me a minute, man, I'll be out there with you on the road speaking. He said, because I ain't going down without a fight. You know that.
I remember that drawing of some kind of bird trying to swallow a frog or something, uh-huh. And they had each other's, you know.
Right. The frog was halfway down, and he was squeezing the bird's neck. And the caption said, never give up.
Right. So that's what it reminds me of. That's what Chuck reminds me of. Chuck ain't got no quit in him, man. So, but yeah, it takes its toll. That medication mm-hmm. sometimes is as bad as the disease itself. You know, that stuff is... You know, and it's painful. So anyway, but he's fighting, man. So when I said he's ailing a little bit, you know, even though he's in pain, talk about an example of resistance, man. He perks right up. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's in his spirit. It's the spirit. That's his spirit, right there.
So it feels good, you know, when you go by and have those conversations with him, and you know,
I guess if he is down one day. Just say something about resistance and that'll perk him up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It just comes up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was doing something around the house, around the yard. Robin gave me this honey-do list. And somebody called me and said, yo, you didn't do a show this week? And I was like, nah, we took a week off. And they were like, what do you mean you took a week off? They were like, upset. Mm. Man, I felt real good about that. And they weren't the only person. A couple other people called me. They DM'd me on Instagram, and they were missing the show.
Great.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was a proud moment. I pat myself on the back. But I obviously can't do this work by myself, man. I got a great producer. Mm-hmm. I got a great team that helps me get this thing done. It's not one person doing this thing on a microphone.
Yeah, so, you know, in the midst of such bad news all the time. Such madness all the time, man. It's, you know, some sanity is going to be missed. You know, you got to bring some, you know, something that's going to make them feel good. And like with Chuck, you know, somebody that's taken that fight to where it belongs makes you feel better.
Yeah, for sure. In the spirit of Chuck.
Love him, man.
Yeah, listen. Yep. Chuck told me one time, he said, Mike, all I care about is making sure that my suffrage is not in vain. He said, if I have to, I think I might have said this before. He said, if I have to go on a table and get cut up to give you my liver, because it'll save your life, I'll do it. You, your dad, your mom, I don't know about anybody else, but pretty much y'all. He said he named a few other people, but he was, you know, and he means it. And you can see it. Mm-hmm. You can see it. Oh, man. Okay. Let's get into a segment that we call Gimme Two. Mm-hmm. You've done Gimme Two with me before, right?
No, Mike.
Hey, man. You know what, Dad? Here we go. Once Dad start getting sarcastic, just the mood changes. Yeah. The mood changes.
Yeah, okay, we've done a few. Right?
We're doing Gimme Two again today.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. For those of y'all who may be new to the show, Gimme Two is, since people think that our activists are one-dimensional, you know, they don't know that we're multifaceted people. We got a lot of things going on in our lives, and we like to spotlight some of the fun and good feelings that we have inside of us, right? Mm-hmm. So this Father's Day is coming up soon. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things about Father's Day that comes to mind. Makes me feel good. Actually, it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel good at all. Actually, it makes me laugh because it's so ridiculous. Mother's Day just passed not long ago, mm-hmm. and Robin and Mom got me to spend a bunch of money on Mother's Day presents for them. And I know what I can expect in my sock drawer, right? Pancakes and socks. And that's cool. I like pancakes sometimes, pancakes and socks. And then we hook up the grill and I cook.
Yeah.
That's it. That's one. The other good thing, the cool thing is Father's Day. We miss so many together. You know what I mean? And the anniversary of Mom being home, the 3-year anniversary of Mom being home just passed. And so, like, the idea of spending that with you and, you know what I mean? Even if we're not actually together, physically together, we're still spending that time together. Mm-hmm. Home. Right?
Yeah.
That's the other one. What are you looking forward to this Father's Day?
Well, you just said pancakes and socks.
Oh, man, I know what you're going to say.
Nah, really. I'm just saying, when you consider who's serving you pancakes and who's giving you socks, that's a real treat, man.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's a real treat.
Yeah, it is. It's nice.
So, 42 years ago, mm-hmm. right, some folks tried to make it their business to cut off our family. I had not yet had a son. I had 3 daughters, which I love dearly. You know, but they cut that production, or tried to, you know, by putting us in jail for 100 years and keeping us in jail for 40, mm-hmm. you know. But we had our son. And regardless of their efforts, try to wipe us out. That's a gift that has never stopped.
The gift that keeps on giving. Mike Africa Jr. is a gift that keeps on giving?
That has never stopped, man. So, you know, as long as my girl is serving me pancakes and socks, I'm fine. And I'm looking at our family. Like you said in your song, you ain't got to give me nothing else.
Ain't got to give me nothing else.
Right, so I'm cool.
Okay, what else you got?
Well, the other thing I have is that what we started talking about.
What's that?
You know, I felt good to see Chuck up. Mm-hmm. And buoyant, man. And, you know, when I came in the house, Debbie and I, he was talking to you. You were on the phone.
Right. Chuck, we had been talking for about 20 minutes at that point.
Right. And so he was, man, he was happy. And when he hung the phone up, that's all he kept talking about was y'all's conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so he's feeling really good, man. And when I heard the topic, you know.
Right up his alley.
As you say all the time, my man. Yeah, so
you know it's some that resistance you were talking about.
Yeah, man. So
resistance, you know, to insanity.
To insanity. Which was one of my favorite songs, by the way.
What? That's a song called Insanity?
Oh yeah.
Who do that?
Kevin Porter, man.
Kevin Porter? I'm gonna write that down.
It's a really good song. He's on there with Layla Hathaway, I believe.
It is? Layla Hathaway?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That they would split. And, you know, they're the only ones that heal each other's hearts and minds.
Oh,
you know,
it's man.
Real fun, really.
Your taste in music.
Yeah, man. Now listen to the words.
See, no, it ain't all about the words. The melody is what gives you certain things, too. Your taste, you got these songs that you like, that you love. And the lyrics, if you just read the lyrics, yeah, they make you feel good. But if you listen to the melody, they make you want to jump off the edge of a cliff, Dad.
Anyone who had a heart, man.
Anyone
who had a heart.
You make me smile.
Because it's really love.
Oh, my God. If you listen to...
Song of the Wind.
Man.
Freedom. All these songs, man, are great songs,
great,
man.
Great lyrically.
They're great songs.
The melody is important, too.
Well, Freedom is kind of an up-tempo song.
Well, I ain't talking about that song. I'm talking about some of that old-school Stevie Wonder stuff. I love Stevie Wonder. You know I love Stevie Wonder. I hate the way people use Stevie Wonder stuff. I love Stevie Wonder so much. But, man, you make me smile.
That's why you listen to the whole album, not just the, you know, the ads of the world.
Ads is that's a super hit, right? That's a different level. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you know. Anyway. You have any plans for Father's Day? What are you going to do?
Hey, man, like I said, I'm not expecting anything other than what I get. And what I get every day is a treat. I'm free. I got my family with me. You know, I don't need baubles or...
You don't need what?
Gadgets or, you know, gifts, you know.
Right.
Gadgets or gifts.
Oh, good.
You know.
So that means you don't need a phone.
No, I don't. I really don't. Because
no,
I don't.
You actually like your phone. I mean, for what you need it for.
No, if I could get the scam calls off it, I'd really love it. But yeah, for what I use it for. And plus, I don't use but a fraction of the things that's, you know,
right,
that comes on that thing. I don't know that thing. I need some help with some stuff right now.
I hear you. Yeah, they say you only use a certain amount of a phone anyway.
Yeah.
So, you spent a lot of Father's Days in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I bet a lot of people don't know what that looks like. You know what I mean?
Thankfully.
Thankfully. But mm-hmm. a lot of people do, too.
Mm-hmm.
When that day would come around, like, what would be on your mind at that time?
Father's Day?
Yeah.
I wasn't really that caught up in it, Mike.
Really?
No. It wasn't the days that if I felt that my children or my family was in some way hurting because of it, then it would concern me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it wouldn't concern me at all, man. You know, if you needed something and I sent it to you, and you say, well, why you sent it to me? What was your answer?
When you sent me something and it wasn't any specific day, it wasn't birthday, wasn't Christmas, it just came in the mail and it's out of the blue.
Right.
And if I said to you, what's this for? What's the occasion? Your answer was, it's Mike Day. I don't need a day to tell me when to send my son something. That's what you would say.
Exactly. So, you know, if I got a letter that I especially liked, it was Mike Day. That's Father's Day. If I got a card for my, you know, any of my kids, for whatever, just thinking of you, you know.
That was Father's
Day. That was Father's Day, yeah.
Well, that was a lot at certain times, huh? We used to write each other a lot at certain points. I mean, I remember I asked you one time, I said, Dad, I said, how often do you and Mom write each other? You know what your answer was?
What?
Not enough. And I asked you, I said, well, how often would you like to get a letter? You remember what you said?
Probably every day.
You said every day. And I asked mom, I said, hey, mom, how often do you, I'm concerned now. I'm like, hey, mom, hold on. How often do you write dad? She said, I write your father about 3 or 4 times a week. And I'm thinking like, that's kind of almost every day. So then I went back to you. I said, dad, mom said she writes you 3 or 4 times a week. You said, yeah, she does. I said, that's like almost every day. He said, that's not every day, Mike.
Plus the mail don't come to you every day. It don't get to you every day. You know, it's just, it goes through the prison system and, you know, it's not like, well, the post office is not regular either, but, you know, it's really not regular in the prison system,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Right, right. So even if she did write every day, it ain't going to
Yeah, it's not going to get to you every day. Like right. That,
no. You know, I was watching this show where a bunch of women got together and they were like painting each other's nails and they were sitting down across from each other on the couch and painting each other's toenails and all of this kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You know, women get really close to each other. Guys, not so much with each other, not, you know, in that way, right? Like, but I was thinking about this when mom was talking about how the women on Mother's Day, they would get together and do things together and work together and do this whole stuff together. Did guys do that kind of stuff in the prison?
Not that I'm aware.
You never seen anything like that? Father's Day, they get together and try to...
Have you seen anything out here like that? No, I haven't.
That's what I meant.
No.
So that's why I was asking that. Because, you know, I mean, prison is different. Okay, so like... while you were in prison, right, and you know this Mike Day or and mom, like, did y'all ever talk about like that kind of stuff?
What to get the kids?
Yeah,
sometimes, yeah. You know, what I like to get most, you know, I would get things that you may have mentioned,
mm-hmm.
either on a visit when you came up or during a conversation on the phone or whatever. If you mentioned something, then I'd try to do that. But at a point when you were about, I don't know, 13 or so,
uh-huh.
14, you know, my thing was just getting you money. You know, so I would work and everything that came my way, I would just save. And then that, you know, when it accumulated, I would just send y'all all a portion of it. I would have divided amongst y'all. You know, so I would just send y'all checks. Because I think that's the best gift.
You know what? When you used to send those checks,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I never told you this before. But I always liked the football more or the shoes more. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm not a money manager. When I got money, you know what I did with it? Spent it immediately. And you know what I didn't buy? I didn't buy things that were lasting. So when you sent me a football, I had that thing for a couple of years.
What did you buy?
I don't even remember. You know what I mean? Like, I was just happy to get it. We went to the store, me and Tyrone and Kareem, we went to the store. We had some fun, I'm sure. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I understand why you did it, but it's like that.
That's why I'm asking, what did you buy?
I don't remember.
I'll tell you what you bought.
What I buy?
You bought exactly what you wanted. And that's why I sent you the checks. You can tell me about a football, and then we have certain venues, only certain venues that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's going to be a lot of times the jail is a conglomerate, man. It is a money-making machine. Every store that they allow you to shop at,
mm-hmm.
they get a break from. Or that vendors is not coming into the jail.
Mm-hmm.
So anything they sell to the prisoners or anything they allow to be bought, they want a breakdown, man. My point in saying that is that some of the places they give us options to buy from,
uh-huh.
is some really, really cheap shit.
Is that why I got that football that was like a balloon from? No, but see, listen though. Nah. I'm
traumatized, man.
No, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I'll never get over it. I need therapy for that one.
But yeah, see, and that's.
No, but see, you didn't. No, but see, it was different though, because you didn't shop at those places all the time. Like JL Marcus, remember them?
Yeah.
You get the Felis, the, right. the, you know.
That. And when they first started, when they first allowed them to come into jail, they wasn't selling. Yeah, they wasn't selling that. I mean, they really went, you know, straight to, you know, to, I don't know where that stuff was they was getting. I don't know where they got that
I've never
stuff
seen
from.
A grade that low once they really? Once they got really low. They I mean, got, those basket, got, those footballs, that basketball was plastic. It wasn't like a ball.
Yeah, well, imagine trying to play some basketball in them joints.
In those shoes?
And shoes made from those same companies. You didn't have Nikes or you had some knockoffs, you know.
You had some Nooks. Yeah, Reebok. Yeah, Weebok. No Adidas.
They might have said that on a label, man, but you, you know.
New Balance was off balance.
Put them joints on. You be sliding across the court.
Yeah, slide off the court. What are they, what are those?
Right. So, yeah, I don't want to see you that stuff, man.
No, it was the best was when Anit, when you were sending Anit around.
Yeah.
And she come, and I'll be sitting at the table doing my homework. And she wait just patiently waiting for me to finish.
Yeah, that's always the thing, man. Let you get what you want.
And when I finished, that's what she did, man. I was at the store like, she didn't put a limit on it. So I'm just like, when am I supposed to stop right now? I grab a couple things. She said, that's all you want? I'm looking around like, I don't want to take advantage of the situation. But at the same time, that's all you want? You can get that too. You can get that.
So I would send Aunt Neat money and ask her to pick y'all up. Right? Sure. Aunt Neat is Aunt Neat, man. That's my older sister, and she's always been that way. Mm-hmm. So whatever I sent her meant nothing, limit wise. It could have been $150. Mm-hmm. When you and Witt got in that store, it wouldn't have mattered. You, Witt, Pooh, or Sherry, it wouldn't have mattered what y'all wanted. You get whatever you want.
You know, I talked to her the other day, and I told her that. I said, I remember that. I said it did so much for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you don't have a lot of people doing for you, but you got a lot of people around you, you know, you see other people, it really does a lot for you when somebody go out of their way to do something for you.
Right.
You know what she told me? She said, I wish I could have done more. She said, if I had known or understood that I could have done more in certain ways, I would have. That felt really good to hear, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know it's the truth. So.
I do. I mean, there's never another example that I've ever saw from her. So, yeah, you know it's the truth.
Yeah. And she's ailing, too. And that's, you know, that's.
Yeah.
You know, that's heavy on me, too. So.
Yeah, I told her I was going to call her more. And I did, and I will continue that. So, you know, we talked about your dad a couple of times. I didn't know him really, really that well, right? Mm-hmm. But I used to go around and see him and, you know, hang out with him a little bit here and there. He used to try to get me to sneak off and get certain things that he wasn't really supposed to have, you know.
Like?
Like what?
Like
a candy bar.
Right.
Yeah, he liked the...
So you wanted...
It was a thing called...
Somebody think dad's toting around there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was called...
Yeah, there's always some...
Oh, right. Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. Right. It was a whatchamacallit. He liked it.
Ice cream cone?
It was a candy bar.
Oh, that's the name of a candy bar?
It's called a whatchamacallit. And he liked it.
Right.
Yeah, go around there, you know. And I went around to Whitey's and got him one. And I kind of knew he wasn't supposed to have it, but I wasn't going to say no. You know what I mean? So I wanted you to tell me a story, if you wouldn't mind sharing a story about your dad. You would talk about how strong he was and how y'all would be laying, y'all would be doing things with him, and he would just kind of show you his strength a little bit, playing with his brother and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You want to share some of that?
Yeah. His brother was about his size. And dad and stature. Now, you know, when I was little, he seemed like Hercules built, you know. He was always, you know, tight, you know, muscular.
Well, how much did he weigh?
He weighed about 160 pounds.
It's a giant.
But anyway, but he was strong. Uh-huh. And his brothers and sisters always talked about them coming up from Georgia and how strong, and he's oldest of his nuclear family, so other children. Mm-hmm. And He's talking about how strong he was, how fast he was, how he'd be chasing rabbits and, you know, this kind of stuff. You know, he had, you know, it was eight of us children.
Uh-huh.
And he would put four on each arm.
Uh-huh.
And he would lift his arms up like this.
Just lift them up.
With all the kids on them. And you've seen my brothers and sisters. And some of them, all of them ain't like me. Right.
Yeah, some of them are heavy. Like, and, Uncle Heavy.
Right, like Uncle Heavy. But he would just lift them up like this, man. He would lift us. He would lift us up like this.
Yeah, this is for people to hear. So, and he would lift them up like what's a good description so the people can.
He's laying down like he's on a cross. Mm-hmm. Right? His arms.
Pause.
Yeah.
Okay, resume.
Yeah, so he would just lift us up, you know, lift his arm straight up, you know. It didn't seem like he was straining or anything. And then his brother, who was the same size he was, about, mm-hmm. maybe a little heavier. You seen the picture of my Uncle Walter, Uncle Sam, and Uncle Sonny Boy.
Uh-huh.
And they would, you know, be playing with him. And that's another thing. I didn't see my dad. I didn't see my dad play much,
uh-huh.
like horseplay, uh-huh. you know, until his brothers came around. You know, he didn't do that with us much. You know, he was always on our case about stuff.
Right.
You know, but when they came around and, you know, that's their brother, you know. So right. he talking to him, he said, you better go ahead, Sonny Boy, you better go ahead. He's laying in the bed just lounging, you know, and he up there just poking at him, you know. And he said, get up and chase him.
Once Grandpa get up. And chase Uncle Sonny Boy.
He chased him to the banister, getting ready to go down the steps, and he would, you know, he caught up with him there, and he grabbed him by the nape of his, you know, from his shirt.
Like the back of his neck?
Back of his neck, yeah. And he turned him around and picked him up, man. It was like he had a baby. He had him over the banister and was just bouncing him up and down. Like he was a kitten, really. Like he was a baby, man. The other things with other examples.
Wait, back up. What was Uncle Sonny Boy doing?
Stop, James. James, come on, put me down, man. Stop, James.
Oh,
James,
now
put me
stopped.
Down. Yeah,
now he would have stopped.
Yeah, I told you, boy. I told you about messing with, you know. Yeah, you're strong, man.
Now, you were going to say something before I interrupted you.
You asked me tell you things about my dad.
Uh-huh.
And I learned more about my dad when I was out of his house than when I was there.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that? What do you mean?
Because as a man, I'm talking to him as a man now. Mm-hmm. And when I'm a kid, I just saw my dad as always on our case. You know, he made sure we were inside the gate before it got dark. When we were around your mom's house, Jimmy was going into.
Jimmy is your brother?
My brother.
Uh-huh.
Right next to me. So it was always, you know, me and Jimmy hanging together. When I met your mother, it was the same day he met your aunt. We met him on the same day, mm-hmm. Sharon, her older sister. Well, during the summer, before we're going, getting ready to go off to high school, Jimmy's 2 years older than me, so he was going to his graduate year,
mm-hmm.
right? He's going to the 12th grade. My dad was coming around to make sure Jimmy also was inside the gate, you know, when it got dark. He didn't want his boys on the street.
Well, wait. You mean Uncle Jimmy was he was damn near an adult. And Grandpa was making sure that he got
would
home.
Come around, he would walk around there and get us from around in front of your mom's house. Y'all come on home. So he's walking up the street. Y'all know my boy? You know my boys? You know my boys? You know what he called me?
Micah.
You know my boys, Micah Davis? Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Jimmy? Oh, yeah, I think they were up the street, Mr. Davis. And he walk up. Y'all come on home. So anyway, all I'm saying is that once I was out the house and on my own, then every Sunday, he wanted me to take him to his mother's house.
Mm.
But it was just like you know, because now by this time now I'm out of the service. I'm in organization. And so he would come down headquarters and pick me up, and I would drive him to his mother's house. We would eat sort of at his mother's house breakfast. Mm-hmm. But then we go to a diner he knew, because his mother's house was also where near where he worked. And we would just sit and talk. And it was those talks where I got to know
got
him.
Got to get to know him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his, you know, his feelings, man, and his dreams for his life and for his kids. And, you know, his... You know, he used to call me certain names.
What do you mean?
Because I had so much energy I was always doing stuff, right?
We'll get into one of those names later, right. Not right now.
Right. So it was almost like my first name was God Damn It Boy. God Damn It Boy, didn't I tell you to so? You know, but yeah, now I'm selling down. He sees I'm being more responsible. And, you know, raising.
And he can actually just talk to you and connect
with
you.
So now we're just talking.
Right.
You know, and I'm getting everything from a completely different perspective. Mm. And I always knew Dad was a good man. We weren't always good kids, but always knew he was a good man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I knew that he was somebody that the neighborhood and the neighbors tremendously respected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I didn't always appreciate that myself, you know? So now that I'm out the house and trying to do things on my own, I see how much he always helped us. He would never let us go without any assistance, you know, anytime I needed anything from my father, you know, anything. He was...
I remember one time you said to me, you said something about you used to think they were stingy.
Yeah.
But they weren't stingy. They were just not wasting their money.
Well, it was a lesson, really. My dad, you know, if your job, you know, back then they used to, if you collected bottles, mm-hmm. you know, on trash day, you get 2 cents a bottle, 5 cents for the big bottles, right? If you did that to help with your lunch money, and I'm talking about when we're 10 years old, mm-hmm. that would give you anything you asked for, practically. But if you didn't make any effort mm-hmm. to have any kind of job, any kind of paper route, any kind of working with Mr. Al, who sold fruit on the corner, he would hire us, you know, to right. go with him on Saturdays. If you didn't make any effort to do anything, Dad wouldn't give you nothing. And he meant it. He wouldn't give you an ice cream cone, which costs a nickel or something. He meant that shit, man. You go out and work just like I go out and work, just like your mom go out and work. You know? But when you did that, when you made any effort to do anything, he'd give you anything. But if he wasn't going to do nothing, that's exactly what he's going to give you.
What can so you expect
no, he
from
wasn't
me?
Stingy.
You can,
he was,
you can expect from me what you give to me.
Exactly. What you try to give yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted you to be responsible, man. You know?
I say the same thing about you. Like, I always knew that you were a good man. I always knew that you were a decent person, honest, fair. One of the episodes we were talking, and I said, of course, Dad would agree with something Mom said. Most people are probably going to defend certain people for whatever reason, just because they're close to him. But you've never been that way. Your way is to be honest and truthful. And even if you're going to defend the person you're talking to, or if it's your wife, or if it's a mom, if it's me or my sisters, you're going to be fair in the situation. And I've seen those examples as long as I've known you. In fact, Chuck mentioned that today. He said, man, he said, Mike, he said, your dad, whenever he give an answer about something, he got some kind of way to back it up. And that's true. Like, in the way you are in general, is just an honest, good person.
Well, that's good to hear, because I work at it. Really?
It don't seem like it, though. Well, and how long have you been working at it? Because it's I've known you for nearly 40 years, and I've never seen anything different.
Well, when I said earlier on, when I was talking about my dad, when I said that I thought it would seem like my first name was God damn it, boy.
Right.
Those are things that I look back on and had to change. I knew I had to change that stuff, man. Mm-hmm. That's not a good memory when you had the opportunity to help somebody in a family or whoever, mm-hmm. and you didn't. Or you had a chance to say something. You said, damn, you know what? I should have told them, you know, what you really felt, mm-hmm. or, you know, and didn't. You know, and these are things I reflect back in my life and say, man, I ain't going to be that person no more. Especially when you see that
the result
holding your tongue can cost you certain things. You know, so I said, man, I ain't, nah.
Well, that brings us to, let's get explicit. This is where we get to express the thoughts, no filter. So, what was the one thing that if you could change it, the decision that you made that you wouldn't have while in prison when it comes to your parental decisions?
While in prison?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a lot when I was in prison either. Hmm. I mean, there are times when, you know, when decisions needed to be made, mm-hmm. I spoke on what I felt the decision should be.
Was that response based on having some of those feelings before? Like you said, there were certain things that you know you should have changed, or that you wish you think about it now and it's like, man, I should have. Were those well thought out decisions to say certain things while you were in prison? When it came to decisions with us, you know, your kids, was that because of things that you didn't say prior to going to prison?
Yeah, I don't think we talked enough prior. That certainly is one of those things where you say if you had the chance again to speak again or to put yourself in a different position, you know, or at least discuss it. You know, so yeah, when it came to y'all especially, I wasn't holding my tongue about what I felt about y'all's involvement in anything.
Well, I hear you.
And that's one of those things, you know, I'm speaking to when I say, you know, it's like with Dad. You know, I didn't really know him until I left and was on my own. Mm-hmm. Even myself, I don't think I thought about certain things enough.
Some things require more thought. Some things require decision-making from an educated standpoint.
Some things require your own decision-making.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Well, I know that you don't need much more than socks and pancakes for mom or me.
Man.
But this Father's Day is coming up. Probably going to get something. Is there anything that you want? Anything I can get you?
Yeah.
What's that?
More of the same.
That's a really good answer, Dad. I'll stop by your place and give you a hug.
There you go. Never can go wrong with a hug, man.
Well, a hug from certain, you know, it's got to be from the right person, though.
Do I really need to add that? Really? Do I really need to? Come on, man.
Nah, you actually don't. We could do this all day. But unfortunately, we don't have the time to do it all day. We all have other things to do, and people got other stuff to do, too. They can't just listen to us podcast all day long. So I want to say thank you to the people that's out there listening to the show. And I want to say, Dad, thank you for coming to the show. It's always a great, great day when you come on mm-hmm. and talk to the people. You know, just to tell you, people really like listening to you.
Yeah.
In fact, for the people out there that's listening to the show right now, I want y'all to give me your best Mike Africa Senior moment. Hit me up on Instagram on Twitter or whatever, wherever, and give me your best story he told, the best thing you remember about him, or whatever it is. Because I want him to feel the love that y'all be showing me. That's it. That. How can people connect to you? You're not on social media. Do they got to? What are they gonna do? Hey, smoke signal?
No. How do my friends who get out or try to reach me? Reach me.
They call me.
There you go.
Call yourself.
Call Mike Africa Jr.
There you go.
I'll hear from you.
There you go. All right, folks. That's a wrap. Time for us to move on to the next thing. We're on the other side, and we'll say goodbye to everybody. Anyway. Okay. All right. That's it. We're on the other side now. Peace out.